Today's study is titled, Son of Man, I Have Made You a Watchman. This devotion is difficult for me to share and has a somber message to share with you. I can emphasize with the prophet Jeremiah, for back in the Old Testament we read in Jeremiah 20 verses 8 and 9, whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. It was highlighted to me through a prophecy given by Pastor Chris Wickland of the Titchfield area, how significant it was to read on the news that 5 horses had been spooked, throwing their riders off, with 2 of the horses rampaging in fear through the capital city of London. 2 were filmed. One was a black horse and one a white horse, covered in blood. This all happened around 8:30 on the 24th of April 2024. Half an hour later, just after 9 o'clock, the clock in Westminster, Big Ben, stopped. Then at 10 o'clock it started and chimed 11 o'clock. These happenings have strong symbolic meanings, which we need to heed and take notice. God occasionally speaks to me through dreams. I've recently had 2 startling short dreams. One night I heard a loud clap of thunder, which woke me. But when I came to, all was calm outside. Thunder gives us a warning that thunder rain is imminent. God was giving me a warning of imminent rain. I interpreted this dream in 2 ways. One, it is a warning of possible war, but on the other hand, it reminds me of what the Bible talks about in Joel 2:1-32 of the latter-day rains. It is reassuring me that the Holy Spirit is soon to saturate the atmosphere with his Holy Spirit. Rain showers of revival into the hearts of men and women who are going to feel a spirit of humility and sincere repentance, desperately seeking God. What an exciting prospect for God's people. In another dream more recently, I was in a house being intimidated by a fighter jet which was outside the house firing shots at us, although they did not hit us, then dazzling us with its lights, sat around the edges of the rear of the jet engine exhaust fuselage, glaring into the house as if spying on us. My thoughts turned to the war in Ukraine, as I asked myself, will this war spill over into the world, touching each one of us? We need to ensure we are living close to the Lord and living in obedience to what he says, but also to be guided by him, living under his guidance day by day. In order for us to know we are being protected, we need to live according to the word of Psalm 91:1-12. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guide you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Let us return back to the incident with the two horses running wild through London. We saw the black horse was a length in front of the blood-stained white horse. The Apostle John was very privileged to have received from Jesus in a vision what is soon to take place in our world. Let us read what John saw in Revelation 6, 5 and 6. "When the Lamb, that is Jesus, opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine.' I see two important messages coming from the vision of the black horse. God has lost his patience with mankind. We have turned our back on him. He has his balance scales in his hands and is about to weigh up sin against righteousness. Judgment is at our door. 50 years back, our country was known as a Christian country. But today, other religions are increasingly taking over within the country and governing our parliamentary leaders. In John's vision, food was scarce and very expensive. With the recent weather events of the last 18 months, food is going to be short. The floods in Great Britain will greatly reduce what the farmers will be able to harvest this season, as well as less grain being shipped from Ukraine because of war. There will be a food shortage worldwide." Let us turn to what John saw in Revelation 19:11-15. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty." In John's vision of the white horse, note my rider's garment was dipped in blood. Also notice in John's vision that the horses with their armies of heaven were following him. In this vision, this could be none other than Jesus himself, who offered himself as a ransom for many, to redeem us from sin. This white horse ramping through London is giving us a clear warning of what Jesus is about to do. Again, he is going to mete out his wrath on mankind. We are in the last days. It will soon happen. Just after the two horses had rampaged to the city, the clock sat on top of the Parliament building stopped at around 9 p.m. But at 10 o'clock, chimed 11 a.m. What is going on, you may ask? People are going about their day-to-day activities totally unaware that the time is ticking away. We may think we are in the 10th hour of the day, but it is actually the 11th hour, close to the 12th hour when things will happen. Are we ready? Are we awake to what is happening around us? Going back to the title of this devotion, Watchmen are mentioned a number of times in the Bible. Cities in the Old Testament each had a watchman posted on the gates of the city. The watchman would blow a trumpet if he saw any encroaching danger. Watchtowers were also erected on the edges of vineyards. The watchman would be out on the lookout for any person wanting to break in and steal, or animals damaging the crop. God appointed Ezekiel to be a watchman for Israel. We read in Ezekiel 3:16-18. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sins, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. Ezekiel was to listen to what God was saying about Israel's spiritual health, and then go and warn the nation of imminent danger. If he did not warn the people of danger, Ezekiel would be held accountable. He would have to carry the responsibility and consequences of not warning the people. Ezekiel sounded out the warning from God because Israel had fallen. Israel had ceased to follow their God and worship him. Judgment was at their doorstep. They needed to hear the warning. They needed to change. And they needed to repent, turn around, before God acted in judgment. God gave Solomon the ways needed for all Israel to turn back to him and follow him faithfully. When Israel did turn away from God, God gave them a strong warning with the opportunity to turn back to him, as God said to in 2 Chronicles 7:13-15. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Today, God is again appointing watchmen within the church community to warn the church and the world of the imminent dangers. Judgment again is on our world, all because mankind has fallen away and turned its back on him. The word God gave to Solomon urgently needs heeding today. Let us humble ourselves and pray and turn back to God. We cannot fail to notice what is happening with the weather, with ever-increasing temperatures and flooding. We see what is happening on our planet, tornadoes and earthquakes on the increase, turbulence of the sea intensifying, large swathes of land producing sinkholes. The stability of life is being eroded, resulting with many one-parent families. The lack of a father in the household has resulted in untold misery for the young folk who desperately need love and a figurehead to follow. Ill health is on the increase, suicide is growing, and folk see no purpose in life. In my young childhood, a murder was such a startling happening maybe once a year. It is now everyday news with multiple stabbings taking place. The Apostle Paul warned us in 1 Timothy 4:1-4, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul continues in 2 Timothy 3:1-13. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with this, such people. They're the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of these men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution and suffering. What kind of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecution I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The status quo has passed. We are about to see a different world emerging. God is about to wind down the affairs of this world in preparing for a new beginning. Jesus clearly said in John 14:1-7, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way and the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." Jesus also said in John 10:11-16, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Let us make sure we are right with God, as the Apostle says in Romans 10:9-11. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." For the watchman on the wall, there is one more area we should consider observing, and that is keeping a wary eye on what is going on in the land of Israel. From the beginning of the Jewish nation, Satan has continued to seek to exterminate Israel. The nations round Israel are making it abundantly clear they want to see Israel exterminated. Satan knows his time is short. He is seeking to make havoc wherever possible. But the good news is, a time is coming when peace will reign throughout the world. God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel when he said in Ezekiel 36, 5-11, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. In my burning zeal, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, for with glee and with malice in their hearts, they made my land their own possession so that they might plunder its pasture land. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and the valleys, this is what the Lord says. I speak in my jealous wrath because you have suffered the scorn of nations. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I swear with uplifted hands that the nations around you will also suffer scorn. But you, mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruits for my people, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will cause many people to live on you. Yes, all of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will increase the number of people and animals living on you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord." There is a day soon to be when God will come back to earth and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And we, who are God's loving people as well as God-fearing Jews, will enjoy peace. God will call the church home soon before that happens. But as God's children, we have a very bright future. In the meantime, let us look up with expectancy for the latter rains of blessing, a revival. As Graham Kendrick so aptly penned this prayer: "Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see, and come with reverent fear, to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast the year. Bend us, O Lord, when we are hard and cold. In your refiner's fire, come, purify the gold. Though suffering comes and evil crouches near, still our living God is reigning. He is reigning here."
Revive the church that bears your name.